We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build.
This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves,
no matter where they came from.
Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
Hello and welcome back for another incredible episode here on Virtually Limitless. I am your co-host, Justine Mader, and I am thrilled to be bringing the mastermind genius behind Beauty and Hustle, the just innovative genius in her field. I love getting to interview female entrepreneurs because we have such a way of nurturing and bringing life to new opportunities. So I have the one, the only Chanel Rivera here in the house, you guys, at Virtually Limitless. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited. And so in your bio, it's so incredible. You talk about leadership is something that you're almost magnetized to, right? It's just something that has been a part of you. I would love for people to get to know the real Chanel that desires leadership, not only for yourself, but for the people that you influence. Because like you shared off screen, you've got multiple businesses. You've got multiple ways of not only creating income and financial freedom, but impact, right? And I would just love for people to know, what is that drive? What is that energy? You shared earlier too that, you know, you're kind of the no fuss, no muss. I'm going to tell you, even if it hurts, because I'm that kind of good friend. I care about you and I want the best for you. How did that come into being here in the business world?
Yeah, so I love that question because I remember, so I actually come from corporate world. I was a district manager at FedEx for years and years, but I remember interviewing for my very first like managerial position at FedEx because I was just a team member.
Oh, sure.
And they said, so what changes, right? If you get this opportunity, what changes? And I remember like it's yesterday, I said, well, nothing really changes about my leadership. I just wear fancier pants. And I remember that. Literally, it was like probably a decade ago, but it's really true. And within that interview, digging into, I wanted more power at FedEx because the more power I had, the more I could give it away and the more I could empower others to take action within their life. So I think that's really what has always been my drive as a leader is how much power can I take so I can kind of slingshot it into the direction of the other people that maybe don't have so much confidence or know that they can do all of these incredible things.
Were you always this confident? Were you always just, you know, really looked to as a leader, or was that not always the case, Chanel?
I think so. There's always that debate, is a leader born or made? And yes. I will argue with anyone that they're born. I came out of the womb, like very bossy, right? And I was always labeled bossy, pushy, you know, a little aggressive. But what I realized was I was a leader. And if I was speaking up, it's because I felt really passionate about something or I knew I was right. I always say, if I'm arguing with you, it's because I know I'm right. So if I am not arguing, like if I'm quiet, I don't know the actual answer. I'm not going to argue with you unless I'm right, so to speak. Sure. So I feel like ever since a young age, I've always had that leadership stance in life where I've always been an empath, a healer. I've always wanted justice for all, that type of stuff. So, and I feel like that starts on the playground when you're like five, right? Oh, you're not going to be mean to her because she looks different. I'm going to be in charge, so to speak.
Absolutely.
So I definitely think that leaders are born. I know people will argue with me, but that's fine. I think that you can teach people greater leadership skills, but that in her, like that deeply seated want to help others for good, I feel like is a characteristic that not everybody can be taught.
That's so incredible. And the visual that I just had is it's almost like it's part of your DNA. You know, you can teach someone how to do the thing, how to be the thing, how to, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk, but is it actually within them? That's a really great just thought piece right there, you guys. You know, are you a leader that has been made, or were you a born leader? Like, nothing that there's no shame in either or, but I think she really brings out a distinction, because so many times people are like, oh, I'm not like Chanel. Oh, I'm not like Justine. Well, you don't have to be. You don't have to be like either of us, but who are you? That comes down to knowing your identity. And so, especially for women, I think that there's such a, I would love to get your thought on this, because you're all about women empowering women and supporting each other, you know, raising each other up is, and that's all my jam. So I love that. But I would love to know, for women currently right now, there is so much stigmas, so many stigmas that are being put, you know, whether you're a working mom, you're a bad mom. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you're a bad mom. Like, there's no way for the modern woman to win in social standards. So I would love to know, what are ways that you empower the women in your life, the women in your businesses? And I mean, how you really make sure that that's being a part of your brand. I can sense it, but I would love for people that haven't had the opportunity to meet you face-to-face and see your work to feel that through this interview.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is really doing what makes you happy, the end, right? Because wow. Your point that you said earlier is people look at people they're aspiring to be, or people that they feel perhaps maybe has this life. And I do air quotations, right? Yes. This life on social media that you're dreaming of. And we try to aspire to be some of these people, but what makes you happy, right? Mm-hmm. What makes you so happy to go to bed and so excited to put your 2 feet on the ground every morning and living that life?
Wow. That's so powerful.
Yeah. And if you can start to do that, that right there will change your whole game, right? Because there are so many people that we feel like we're competing against every yes. single day, but we're in a whole different game. We are not in the same maze, right?
No.
And we're trying to compete against, it's kind of like if you're playing Nintendo and I'm playing, you know, I don't know, I don't even know what another PlayStation, right? PlayStation. And we're playing on two different systems. We're not even in the same realm. And we can encourage each other to win the game that we're playing, but it's so unnecessary for us to try to be watching everyone else's game and seeing how they're doing it. It's definitely important to look at people and feel inspired, but yes. then rewrite that story in your book.
That's so important to realize. So the number one thing that I took away from that, Chanel, is just really not only staying in your own lane, but embracing the power of you being in your own lane, because that energy isn't being spent on looking at everybody else's PlayStations or what games they're tackling, right? It's really honing in that laser focus and utilizing the energy that you already had, but was kind of like free roaming to other people. And then focusing on you, focusing on your family, focusing on the things that define your definition of success. And that's one of the things I'm super passionate about is, you know, my definition of success probably isn't yours, and that's okay. But if you're living according to my definition,
Yeah, right? You're going to fail, right? I mean, right? You're going to fail because you were brought up differently. You have different standards. You have different ethics. You have different wants. Some people, I've coached women that will come to me and just so firmly say, I want to make $1 million. Okay, great. Why? Right. Right. Like, right. They can't concretely say why. And then they say, oh, well, I feel really terrible because I'm chasing this dream and I wanted to get really close to my kids. And now I'm working all the time. It's like, okay, let's scale that back, right? In anything, and I'll just use kids as one thing. Your kids can't be your why and your excuse at the same time.
Ooh, you can only use them once. You can only use them once. Oh, so okay, good.
That can be with anything, health problems or, you know, any type of journey that you're on. You can't use that as the why you're so passionate about something and also the excuse as to why you're not being able to get that, right? But sure. On the flip side of that, if raising your kids is the most important thing right now, maybe you don't need $1 million, right? Yeah. Maybe you just really need that $4,000 a month to survive and you want to do that on your terms, because achieving $4,000 a month in any revenue stream versus achieving $1 million a year or a month is two totally different. You're in two different games, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's really important and for people to understand that there are sacrifices on both sides, and that this whole illusion of we can have it all, we can have it all. We really can. However, there are going to be things that I don't intend to use the word sacrifice too much, but I really like the word, like the way of focusing on something is that we're investing our time in X instead of sacrificing our time. Yes. But we're investing our time right now in our business so that in 5 years, our kids can go to Harvard or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So you can shift your mindset to that. I'm not sacrificing my kid's basketball game. I'm investing my time somewhere else so that way he can go to college and I can pay for it. That at least rewires the brain to think, okay, this is kind of crappy. I'm not doing X, but this is Y, right? So I think it's just important to really know what do you want? Not what does your best friend, your mom, even your husband sometimes, like what do you want when you're all alone? And how do you build that out for yourself?
That's so incredible. And there's a couple of points I have to echo and kind of dig deeper on too. It's one of those things like underlying Chanel's message is the power of perspective. You know, you can look at something as a blessing or a curse. I can't go to my kid's game, but I am investing in my business so I can pay for his college. Like which route are we going to intentionally choose to utilize in our brains? How are we going to rewire? How are we going to do any of those things unless we actually take the intentional awareness of what we're doing, when we're doing it, being present where our feet are at. I love how you put that, Shannon. And I'm so grateful that you articulated the fact that there's sacrifice or there's pain on both sides. It's not all cupcakes and rainbows. It's like going to the gym. If you don't work out and sweat, you're not going to have the six pack. It just doesn't happen. Right. Unfortunately, I wish sometimes it was easier especially after two kids, trust me. But it's one of those things where if we can look at that pain in the pain becomes our power when we choose the proper perspective to look through things. So I would love to know, you coach many women, you support incredible businesses that you found and, you know, run now. I would love to know, how do you integrate what works for you and what you are helping other people achieve? Because, right, your definition of success is yours. How do you create that boundary? This is something I'm passionate about. And so I would love to know what your take is on that. And Elliot would too. For those listening, Elliot is chiming in. Yes, we'd like to know Chanel's thoughts on this.
Yeah, so there's something that I formulated called SAS, S-A-S, and it's strategy, authenticity, and soul. And at the end of the day, that is how anyone can find success doing anything, okay? Anything, whether it's looking at how you're a mom, looking at how you're a coach, looking at how you're a business owner, looking at how you're a good wife or husband or whatever. Anybody can use this method and be really strategic with it. And it starts with strategy, meaning you have to have a plan, right? Like, what is your actual plan of how you're going to attack this situation, or, you know, whether it be your job or any situation. The second part is being authentic, right? What is your branding? But go way deeper than that. Like, what is the purpose of your branding? Who do you serve, right? When I teach people branding, everyone wants to say, oh, I got this cool logo and this really awesome color, and I want everyone to think of me with this. And that's cool, right? Nobody sees hot pink and doesn't think of me anymore.
Yes.
Right. But however, like, what is the person that I'm trying to serve? What is that authentic message to that person? Right. And how do I show up for that person? And how do I serve them? And what problems do I help fix or solve or caress? And then the last part of that is soul. Like, do you really love that? Right. Like, there are people that you will see try to fix relationships where they're not really in love anymore. And they're just kind of giving it a go because, oh, you know, divorce is hard or breakups are hard or whatever, right? Or they don't want their kids to be, you know, in a broken home or whatever. Or you see people that might look at other people and go, oh, she has a boutique. Oh, she said she's made $1 million. Oh, well, I should do that. Like, if you don't love clothes or you don't like retail, probably not the way to go, right?
Probably not going to go so good.
Yeah. And I mean, and we see it every day, especially in the coaching space. Oh, I see all these coaches, they're making all this money. But like, if you're not really showing up with sass and you're not showing up to serve your ass off with whatever it is that you're doing, it's going to be really hard for you to hit that level of success that you are craving. And nobody starts anything to fail, right? Like nobody starts dating someone because they're like, oh yeah, we're going to get a divorce one day. Nobody does that. Nobody starts a business.
How you bring that up. Yes. It's not like we're planning on messing up.
Right. Nobody does that. However, like we need to just think about what is it that we really want from that situation anyways, that way it can drive us and serve us to get to our success in a much quicker way.
I love that so much. And I think, you know, showing up with sass, I mean, I'm going to remember that now. That's never going to escape me. I love that so much. So if you're not showing up with sass, you know, what are you showing up with? I mean, like really at what point it's not worth it for anything, for anyone, for yourself, especially. So I think that that's super incredible. And I would love to ask you, there's so much noise in the online space. You're super into branding, social media presence, all of those things. How do you help people zone out or, you know, laser focus, however, you know, the tagline wants to run, and just really create that opportunity where they can zone in on what it is that they're doing and achieving so that they don't get distracted by shiny object syndrome, comparison mindsets? Like that's the number one thing that coaches have to tackle every single day. And I would just love to know, for someone listening today, they're like, I'm doing all the things right, Justine, but you know, maybe Chanel has some ideas. I would love for you to give us even one or two ideas to move forward with.
Yeah, I think it really goes back to your ideal customer, right? And who is that person? I always draw it out and I do it on a quarterly basis. And because I have multiple businesses, my ideal customer is different for every single thing that I offer, right? And for every brand that I own and operate. And so I think
so
it's
cool.
Really, yeah, like drawing that person out. Who is she? Where does she hang out? Where are her friends? Like, what does she want to do? What do you actually provide for her? How are you making that person life better, right? Because at the end of the day, and it drives me crazy. Everybody wants to take another course. They want to, you know, watch 10 other people that are doing it so that they can figure it out. And at the end of the day, like, you just got to start, right? And you have to be laser focused.
Amen.
On why you're starting and who you're starting for. And always taking money out of the equation. Because if you start any business for money, you will fail every time, because it just doesn't work like that. Like, because there's going to be times where, you know, just where I don't pay myself because I have payroll and I was really busy and I have a launch coming up and I need to spend money on, you know, on actual product. So maybe I don't pay myself. So don't start anything for the sole purpose of money. Yes, money, you need to pay yourself. I'm not being an advocate for not paying yourself, just an example, right?
Yes, but ma'am.
It's just one of those things, is to really focus on who you serve, how you serve them, and really figuring out where are they? Where can you go find more of them? You know?
That's so good. And it allows you to harness that energy like we were talking about earlier and really just utilize that to support whatever that mission is, that why, that drive, that person that you're going to support. And I love it. Some people say that they name their avatars and they have different, you know, people for businesses. That's so cool. So whatever works for you guys as you're listening to this, it's really honing in on that person and showing up as 1000% willing to support them as you can. I know you want to serve too. I know. Yeah. You're just so excited. but the next question I have for you too, that I would love to pick your brain on, is you are starting new ventures. You've got current ventures going on. How do you do it, Chanel? How do you create that, not balance, but I would say integration and harmony of the different things that you're pursuing as a female entrepreneur?
Yeah. So I think part of it, honestly, has been being able to hire out some help. And, you know, I was 5.5 years into my journey before I could actually really hire people that come into the office every day and, you know, take
a lot. Wow, I love that.
Yeah, it was me and my husband 5.5 years. And then finally we're like, okay, we kind of got stuck at these, you know, these milestones where I felt like I can't do any more with just us. So definitely hiring. But if you're not in a place to hire yet, I love, and it's something I taught at FedEx, it's something I teach my current team right now at the office. I love time chunking, like, so where you set your for an hour and you're like, okay, for an hour, I'm going to create graphics for social media. And you're going to turn your phone on airplane mode and you're just going to go and do all of the things that you need to do. You know, okay, I have 30 minutes to read a self-help book or whatever. But if you're able to chunk it out that way, then you don't feel overwhelmed. But it also puts some kind of pressure on you of like, oh, shoot, I only have 45 more minutes. I need to hurry up and do all of this. Like if you ever watch like cooking shows where they're timed,
yes,
people make masterpiece dinners, right? And like 20 minutes, and I'm like, what? I would still be cutting or something for it, right? So I think it's so important for you guys to realize that sometimes we have to set the clock for ourselves and challenge ourselves to beat that clock every single day, but also giving yourself time to rest and giving yourself the grace to rest. And that part is hard, you know, it's like sitting here for an hour and trying to not have anxiety about like, well, what if I worked and then I could make another $1,000 in an hour? Like sometimes putting your phone down and disconnecting is the most powerful way for you to bring that harmony within your business and in your life. And the other last thing that I always preach is putting your phone down when you're at the dinner table, right? Like making sure that there are things that are really sacred, right? And for some people that may not work for them. Maybe it's breakfast. Maybe it's, you know, going for a run every morning, whatever it is, but like putting your phone down and being present with those who are in your presence is really important.
Oh, that's so incredible. And it's one of those things that I think all of us, you know, listening here, like she said, it's not necessarily one thing, but what is that thing for you? Is that breakfast? Is that dinners? Is that, you know, family time on the weekend? You know, how can you be intentional by being present in the presence of those that you love and care about that are probably a good portion of your why, your drive, and all of those things to reignite that flame when you're feeling down, when you're feeling spent, especially if you are a solopreneur. Like Chanel shared, you know, it's one of those things that it's a huge privilege to have a team, but not everyone is privileged to have a team at certain seasons of the business. And, you know, to get through those hard times means that you have to focus and master yourself even that much more. And so I think that what she's sharing and the big one that hit me like a train personally was having the grace. I could say I was going to do it, but I would do it grudgingly. I would do it being like, I really shouldn't be here. I really should be. No, I had to reset that mindset in me. So when you said that, it just made my heart beat so strong because I'm like, that's exactly like, I just wish more women felt that because we're always so, and maybe this is a good next point too. You know, as empaths, as nurturers, as women that, you know, bring life, not only to children, but to businesses, to opportunities, like, is it hard not to try to do everything? Because I know for myself, a lot of the times I'm like, nope, I have to let this one go. I have to delegate. I have to move this one on. And it's not that I can't do it. I just don't have enough time in the day to do it. So I can't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I've always been pretty good at delegating when it comes to task-based stuff, right? Because like I said, my team knows I'm not going to ask them to do anything that I haven't done myself. I've been doing all of those tasks for the last 5.5 years by myself. So I think that that part is easy for me. I know it's a little bit harder for others, but I think if you're somebody that has a hard time delegating tasks out, you need to understand how empowering it is for somebody else to be asked for help upon, right? Like sometimes it's a burden, but if I say, hey, every Monday I do X, Y, and Z, and I go to one of my team members and say, hey, every Monday I usually do this, but can you do this? Now they're thinking, holy crap, like this, she trusts me. This is a big deal that she does every Monday morning and now it's mine, right? And that's something that I really preached and believed in when I was in corporate life as well. So I think if you're having a hard time with the task part of it, try to remember how you felt the very first time that somebody asked you something that you knew was really important and how privileged you felt that you got to do that, right? That you felt trusted enough that somebody knew that you were going to, you know, come through for them. Right. So that would be that part. The other part of delegation is really like that time off and that giving yourself grace part. And honestly, that comes in waves. And I feel like that comes in waves for a lot of people. Maybe somebody's mastered it better than mine. There are times where I can have my phone off all Sunday and I feel fine. And there's other times that I struggle with it a little bit. But I think if you understanding that if you go bankrupt, like, you know, either financially or physically or mentally bankrupt, your whole ship sinks, right? So all of the people that you are serving, all of the people that count on you for a paycheck, all of the people that count on your wisdom for whatever service or product you provide, if you are toast, right? If you are done, you can no longer do that for them. So, and then the last part I like to touch upon is as women, it's almost equally as empowering to tell my customers, hey, on Sundays, I won't respond. Because now I've given her permission to tell somebody that on Sunday, she doesn't need to respond.
Yes. Like,
so I think that I know that was kind of a long answer, but I feel like there's different delegation. So,
oh my gosh. Yes. Well, and you know, when it comes to all of it, it all goes to the same mission. It all goes to the same picture. So I love that you touched on multiple points because all of them coexist in us trying to not only establish ourselves as, you know, business women, but also growing through that opportunity as well. And like that last part, I sense that you were going down that direction, you know, giving someone else the power to hold their space as well. It's just, that is so incredible where it's like, you don't have to apologize for that. Oh, God bless you. Yes. So I think that that's something that has been lost, but needs to be found again. And it starts with us. It starts with us honoring our priorities. And it's not being selfish. It's being selfless. Because the more that you're able to show up for yourself, the better you'll be able to be the wife, the mom, the business owner, the leader, all of it coincides. So I would love to know, you shared the word wisdom, and that hit me right as you were talking as well. You know, with your intuitive coaching and the ability to say it tough, say it in love, what would you share with the woman that's listening right now? 2020 was a hard year. She's uncertain of what her next steps are. How would you encourage her? You know, she should reach out to you as well. We'll make sure they have all your links to touch base with you. But what would you ask, or what would you encourage her to do to get herself some clarity in order to know what her next best step is in her life or business?
Yeah, I think that goes back to what makes you happy. Right. So if you won the lottery tomorrow, you came to Vegas tomorrow and you won $1 million, right? So money wasn't even a thing, right? Which a lot of people have limiting beliefs around money. So they don't even realize that that's possible, that they could wake up one day and just not be worried about money. So that's the first step, is understanding, like, if you were to just come in to some money, what are all of the things that you would be doing, right? And why are you doing them? And some people will dream really big with this, and some people still play really small, right? Like for me, my end goal is a dog rescue on acres and acres of land. And I'm just there dirty and muddy with the dogs, and I don't really have to deal with anybody, right? And we can do women's retreats there, and they can get some love and cuddles from the dogs. But like, that's me dreaming really, really big, way in the future, right? And so I think that I encourage you to dream your biggest and then work backwards from that, right? So what's that big dream? And then how do you peel back the layers to say, okay, well, in order for me to get a dog rescue on acres and acres of land where I can do retreats, that's going to be at least $1 million a year operating expense, right? So what are the things that I start doing now to get to that place to have funding for that, right? So I think it's really important for you guys to dream really big and then look at it backwards and try to calculate the steps to how to get there, and not be afraid to dream really big. There's so many women right now breaking generational curses and having to literally rewrite everything that they've ever known. And so what happens is you start dreaming and you're like, oh God, I just wish I could wake up and have my water bill on auto pay, right? Like, that's not dreaming big enough. That shit's doable, right? I've been broke. I've had to return groceries. I've like cried about having to get gas money. Money is just an energy exchange, right? One of the most powerful quotes I've ever heard on a podcast was, money is simply feedback. So if you look in your bank account and it's not great, ooh, that just means, right, is that, and I wish I remember who said that, because I remember that all the time. If your bank account is like, nope, it's not it, then sis, it's not it. Like, let's start looking at what is it, right?
That's feedback. That's results. That's yes. I'm going to have to look that up too, you guys. Wow. That's so powerful.
Yeah. So I think it's really about that, is dreaming big and taking money out of it. Cause we're so conditioned to think about money, 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 money. And the more we think about money, 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 the less it comes to us. When if you're just like, I'm a badass. Money comes to me. I'm always going to be fine. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to step into my purpose and do the things that is important to me. Obviously I'm still going to wake up and work really hard, right? Like I still work every day. I'm not saying like,
we can't cancel that out of the equation. You guys, that part doesn't go away.
Kumbaya and think that money is going to come to you. Maybe some spiritual people can, I don't know. It hasn't worked for me yet. So, but adding the work in that you really want to do. And then when you're working really hard, everything starts to just energetically switch.
That's so incredible. And I think that for everyone listening here too, just realizing everything can be used as a tool. It's all about your perspective. It's about your choice. It's about, you know, what you do with what you're given, right? We all have the same 24 hours in the day. What are we going to do with them? How are we going to use them and move forward from there? So I have to ask, do you have a favorite dog breed?
I have pit bulls.
Oh, I bet they are awesome. I grew up with Great Pyrenees, so I had to ask and be like, you know.
I have three pit bulls. One's a lab pit mix. So they're definitely my favorite. I feel like I'm kind of like them. Like people look at them, they're very misunderstood. They look kind of scary and abrasive. But then when you actually like get to know them, they're like the softest, coolest little animals ever. But they would fight you. Like, so... Mm-hmm.
Yes. Be careful. Be careful. It's kind of like being a pineapple. You know, it's juicy and sweet on the inside, but it wears a crown and it's prickly. So be careful, you guys.
Yeah, I will cut you if I need to right now. But yeah, so those are my favorite.
That's so awesome. I'll have to have that as a trivia question. Did you listen to the podcast? What is her favorite dog breed? So that's super, super fun. And I love getting to know, you know, that's a part of your life. I can't wait to have, you know, one of the things on my list is a big country place with tons of acreage too. So I love sharing that with you too, because I want my kids to be running around crazy and, you know, living their best life. So that's, I love that so much. But yeah, what am I going to do to take those steps backwards and be like, okay, so what does that mean for me? What are the goals that I need to achieve? What are the steps that I need to take in order to make this dream a reality? So with that, Chanel, you have been so incredible on this show. I know people are going to need more of you in their life, in their businesses. Where can they find you? What do you have going on in your neighborhood so they can get to be a part of it?
Yeah. So honestly, the best place to find me is going to be on Facebook. Follow me on my personal profile. I share a lot of hard truths and success wins and all of those things on Facebook. So Chanel Rivera on Facebook, but also Beauty and Hustle on Facebook. And then I have multiple groups on Facebook. So we have hashtag Beauty and Hustle, which is like a women empowerment. Started off as a makeup group, grew into so much more than that. So there's a ton of groups on Facebook, but if you find my main profile, you'll see all of that. And then obviously you can always go to beautyandhustle.com and read a little bit more about me. And then I have a boutique. So shopbeautyandhustle.com. If you need some new clothes, shoes, earrings, I got you on that too. So, and then if you are a boutique owner, I coach boutique owners, and I also have a drop shipping company, and that is called RGS Ready Go Sell. So if you're interested in that, just hit me up, and you can also look at rgsdropship.com and we'll find you there. But yeah, Beauty and Hustle everywhere, and you'll find me.
You'll find her somewhere under that line, right? That hashtag, absolutely, that line, that group, you guys, no excuses not to give this lady a follow and to connect with her with all of your questions. All of those links are in the show notes, you guys. So please don't be shy. She's gonna love on you. She's going to support you. I have to ask though, makes me wonder, are you on Clubhouse at all? Do you like Clubhouse? So
I am on Clubhouse. However, I'm not understanding how some of these people have time to be there all the time, because I have all these businesses that I'm legit running.
Yes. I'm against that too. So one of my biggest things is I time blocked it for just Clubhouse time. That yeah. So when you were talking about that earlier, I was like, oh, we're gonna have so much fun talking about this. Like,
yeah, I need to do that. I need to be more intentional with that. I'm one of those people though that is very much so like need to make sure that my team is good, which I should probably battle that a little bit and trust them. But I love to be on the floor with them at the office and everything like that. So I should probably start dialing it in where I'm time blocking some time. I just felt like on Clubhouse, there's a lot of people that are like, ah, I'm like a gajillionaire. And I'm like, how do you have so much time to be here talking? Because I am not a gajillionaire. And I have all these businesses that are legit and I'm tired. Like, yeah.
Yep. And I have to take my me time and it's not showing up on a Clubhouse stage. So no, I definitely have, I've had some really interesting conversations. One was with Laura Belgray, talking shrimp, and she was on the show recently and she was like, you know, I got burnt out. Everyone was there just wanting to rah, rah talk that I don't even go on there anymore. And I was like, I love hosting small rooms. So I'm going to have to get you on Clubhouse, you guys. That's where this conversation is going. But the number one thing about Clubhouse, I think what, you know, even Chanel is leading to here, it has to be strategic. It has to be intentional. It has to be all of those things that you said, just because it's a new platform, just because it's the latest craze doesn't mean that that's where you should be. And that's where your time will be best spent. Cause like she said, I got people to take care of. I've got businesses to run. Clubhouse.
Yeah. So I don't really know if my avatar is there, right? Like,
She's
busy. She's tired and she doesn't want to, right? And I mean, I was on it and I was so jazzed about it. But I think to your point, sometimes it's like this me, me, me fest. And I'm like, I would love to be there and serve people. So in smaller rooms, I've hosted a ton of them and I do really love them. And I've been able to help some boutique owners get some major attraction in like 10 minutes, right?
Yes.
By picking my brain. So I love that. Mm. But, you know, maybe just going back to smaller rooms and shifting my perspective on that a little bit, you know.
Well, you're always welcome in any of my rooms. This was phenomenal. So we'll figure that out off camera. But I was just like, I have to ask if she's on Clubhouse because they can follow her there too. Everyone knows here that I'm quite in love with the opportunity to serve people in that platform. So that's one of my favorite places to be. So anyways, you guys, this was incredible. Chanel, I would love to know as one last parting piece of advice. You know, what would be your favorite quote or inspiration? I know we talked about one beforehand, but I don't know if that's your favorite. I liked it. It's on her website, guys, so go check it out. But what would be one of yours, or is that the one that you love most?
Yeah, I have a lot of quotes that, you know, I kind of live by, but I really do. There's a quote by Pablo Picasso and it says, like, your whole, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember off the top of my head, but basically your whole life is to figure out your gift and your purpose is to give that gift away. And I think that's so powerful, right? So understanding that your purpose is there, not only to serve you and your ego, but to serve others is a way, if you can start to live like that, your life totally shifts.
I just feel that so much in you, Chanel. I'm so grateful we connected. We got to have you on the Virtually Limitless podcast, you guys. Chanel, you were incredible.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. You guys, be sure to tune in, follow her on all the places, and we'll see you again so soon here in the Virtually Limitless podcast.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.